Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Right now, it's 38 degrees in Nashville, and 30 degrees, rather, in Nashville, and the time is 9 o'clock.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, a community show from Fort Townsend, Washington, featuring local panelists, including Says You Hall of Famer, Brian Toss.
That's exactly right. 10
I love
points.
That
very
sound.
Good.
Oh, yes.
I never thought I'd hear that sound.
But don't worry, just because our panelists are new doesn't mean we'll compromise the integrity of our questions.
Oh, that is really preposterous.
Boo.
I'm already hearing brain cells die.
Yeah, yeah. Did you ever hear a hiss go through the audience like that? Sounds like there's reptiles out there.
So join us for the show where the questions are hard and the answers can come from anywhere.
Can we ask the scorekeeper?
Yeah. Suppose that would depend on how broke the scorekeeper is. Yeah.
Says You begins after this.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Rescuers off the coast of a tiny Tuscan island are still searching for survivors from the capsized luxury cruise ship that ran aground. More than 4,000 people had to be evacuated from the ship, and three people are confirmed dead. But rescuers have located three survivors, the latest an injured crew member who was taken to a hospital by helicopter. Authorities are holding the captain of the ship for suspected manslaughter, among other possible charges. United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is calling on Syria's leader to end the government crackdown against protesters.
I say again to President Assad of Syria, stop the violence. Stop killing your own people.
Ban, speaking there in Beirut today at a conference on political reform, he said the old order of one-man rule and family dynasties in the Middle East is over. The UN says more than 5,000 people have been killed in Syria's crackdown, which began last March and was inspired by the uprisings that ousted three Arab leaders last year. President Assad has issued a general amnesty for crimes committed since the start of the uprising early last year. The BBC's Jonathan Head has more.
It's difficult to keep track of all the amnesty offers made by the Syrian government. There were at least four last year, where citizens were invited to turn themselves in with any weapons they held in return for immunity from prosecution. It isn't known how many, if any, took advantage of the offer, or if the government's promise of immunity was kept. The latest proposal is more or less the same. The state news agency says all those who turn themselves in by the end of this month will not be prosecuted for taking part in peaceful protests, carrying weapons, or avoiding military service.
The BBC's Jonathan Head reporting. Back in the States, Mitt Romney is planning to take the day off, a week away from the South Carolina primary. But most of his rivals are expected to focus on coastal communities today. Earlier this weekend, at a predominantly black church in Columbia, South Carolina, Newt Gingrich was bombarded with tough questions, as Kathy Laura reports.
Audience members were mainly Democrats who took issue with some of Gingrich's campaign rhetoric, including calling Barack Obama a food stamp president. Many also oppose his portrayal of poor kids and poor neighborhoods, including Regina Williams, a teacher who says medical bills forced her to move in with her mother.
And I don't think that he really has an answer. And not just him, but I don't think that any of the candidates really have an answer unless they've been in our shoes.
Williams gives Gingrich credit for coming, but his answers didn't satisfy her. Most of the candidates will spend the rest of the weekend campaigning at churches and across the state in an effort to reach as many voters as they can before next Saturday's election. Kathy Lohr, NPR News, Greenville, South Carolina.
And you're listening to NPR News. Militants have attacked a Shiite religious procession in eastern Pakistan with a remote-controlled bomb. Police say at least 13 people are dead and 20 wounded. No one has claimed responsibility for the attack, but the Pakistani Taliban and other Sunni extremist groups have claimed bombings of Shiite religious sites and ceremonies in the past. The New England Patriots and the San Francisco 49ers have advanced in the NFL playoffs. NPR's Mike Pesca says San Francisco pulled out a thrilling victory, whereas the Patriots simply crushed the Broncos.
On the game's first drive, the Saints' offense seemed like a scalpel and Drew Brees the surgeon. But a big hit on Saints running back Pierre Thomas jarred the ball loose, and San Francisco quickly rolled out to a 17-0 lead. The Saints did come back, overcoming five turnovers, to take a three-point lead with less than 2 minutes left. But Alex Smith connected with Vernon Davis for a big gain, and then again for a 14-yard touchdown. Final score, 49ers 36, Saints 32. New England also stormed out to an early lead, but they never allowed the Broncos to come back on the way to a 45-10 victory. The Patriots will host the winner of Sunday's game between Baltimore and Houston. The 49ers will play either the Giants or the Packers. Mike Pesca, NPR News.
Russia's failed Mars space probe is expected to plummet back to Earth today, but space officials and experts say the risks are minimal because the unmanned probe's orbit is mostly over water and most of it should burn up in the atmosphere. The failed probe was designed to travel to a moon of Mars and collect soil samples, but it's been stuck in Earth orbit since its launch back in November. Russian space agency officials say it could crash anywhere along the route of its next few orbits, but that the U.S. is out of the risk zone. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Joyce Foundation, working to improve the quality of life in the Great Lakes region. Learn more at joycefdn.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Says You in Port Townsend, Washington is made possible by the Clemente Course for the Humanities, teaching the humanities at a college level to people living in economic distress. On the web at clementecourse.com. That's C-L-E-M-E-N-T-E.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scherr.
Thank you. From the stage of the Chimicum Auditorium, just outside Port Townsend, Washington, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He's the director of the local library, booked rock bands, raised chickens, and won numerous awards based on his knowledge of how to apply for awards. Mr. Ray Serebrand. He's been a writer, and most recently a member of the Says You Hall of Fame. That's Mr. Brian Toss. And she's the rose between those thorns, the anchor of the team, the captain of the USS Syntax, that Says You's own Paula Lyons. Who's the captain today?
I guess I am.
Oh, you're always the captain. That's right. You're the captain.
Her Majesty.
Her Majesty.
To my left, team two. He's the key to victory, the doorway to success, on the threshold of greatness, team captain Arnold Riesman. Jeez. She's an author, a poet, and the current bronze medalist at the Cedro Woolley Women's Chainsaw Competition. That's Emily Warren. And she's been in the chorus. She has helped those in dating need and is now the co-artistic director of the Paradise Theater School. That's Miss Patty Miles. And Arnold, you are, of course.
I'll be the captain. It's always I've never been between a chainsaw and a dating service before. But we'll try and come.
Correct answers are worth 10 points, or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners, grab a pen and paper. Let's begin. When you spend time in these parts, you understand that folks here are connected to the land. So we thought it appropriate to begin with the contribution of Mr. David Cronin of Medfield, Massachusetts, his round of earthy language. For 10 points, please answer the following questions about the culture of cultivation. Patty, what is the true meaning of cultivation?
The true meaning of cultivation, is it, I'm thinking of ground, but is it, has something to do with sowing and reaping and harvest? And
no, you're right. You're right to think of the ground. Okay, that's the place to go.
Cultivate.
As opposed to the rest of it.
I think it's about turning.
Turning?
Okay. Is it turning over the ground? Does it have to do anything with...
Turning over the ground
will do just fine. That's exactly what cultivation is. It doesn't have much to do with planting or anything like that. It is to break up soil in preparation for planting. That's the true meaning of cultivation. So very good. 10 points for that. Try this one, Brian. What are you doing when you're threshing?
When I'm threshing?
Yes.
When I'm threshing. Usually I'm having a nightmare. And,
I understand that completely.
No, it's you're separating the grain from the chaff.
Do you know how you actually do that? Why it's called threshing, for instance?
It was invented by Sir George Thresh, who invented it in 1559. No, there's a variety of ways. It does involve flailing, though. I think that's the same root as thrash, yes?
Yes, it does. Oh, that's exactly right. 10
I love
points.
That
very
sound.
Good.
Oh, yes.
I never thought I'd hear that sound.
You're over the hump, baby.
It does. The true meaning of it, the actual dictionary definition, you're physically beating the stems and the stalk of the wheat to separate the edible part, of course, from the scaly husks. That's what you're doing. Try this one, Arnie. What might be meant by tilth? T-I-L-T-H. Tilth.
Tilth. Tidy filth. Anybody have any ideas? Raking? Yeah. Does it have anything to do with tilling at all?
No.
Or the past tense of till, or the Elizabethan tense of till. Thou shalt not tilth.
It
raking.
No, it is not. It's actually
giving 10% of your.
Oh, that's right. Tithing the tilth.
10% of your dirt.
You know, I'm so tempted to hit the bell for that. I can't tell you, but no.
It's good. I like that one.
Anybody over there have any thoughts about tilth?
It's manure.
It isn't actually manure. That's not a bad guess, but no, that's not it. Anyone on this side have any thoughts?
Isn't it really lovely earth, very good stuff? Good dirt.
Well, that's it can be, but it not necessarily. Anyone in the audience?
Ryan has an idea.
What do you have?
Well, isn't it the art of cultivation? I mean, like this the larger subject in abstract?
Well, it's the condition of the soil. The actual condition of the soil. Its applicability for planting of specific crops. How much clay, how much sand, how much nutrients does it need, fertilizer, aeration, that kind of thing. That is what you are considering when you consider tilth. So we'll give you what?
Tidy filth. That's what I said.
Tidy filth. How many points for tidy filth? You're going to give him 5 points for tidy filth? No. We're going to give him 2 points for tidy filth and be embarrassed at the very thought of it. Paula, how can you tell a pitchfork from a manure fork?
You know, I own a pitchfork. I actually, when we moved to Martha's Vineyard, I bought a pitchfork.
Excellent.
So I'm guessing it has to do with the number of tines on the fork or
it
not?
It has everything to do with the number of tines and one other thing. One slightly...
Does it have an aerator on it or something? A little filter?
One slight addition to this, and you got 10 points.
Does it have a little shovel attached to
the
it?
The length of the tines or the length of the...
Are they short?
Tiny manure fork films.
No?
Well,
very bad.
You know what? I know what you're driving at, so I'm going to give you the 10 points.
She doesn't know what she's driving at.
I have no idea what I'm driving
at. No, you.
I love it.
Well, the pitchfork has 3 to 5 tines, and of course the manure fork has more, 4 to 10. But the pitchfork has slightly rounded tips, whereas the manure fork is as pointed as you'd want it to be.
Capture more of yummy stuff.
Yeah.
Try this one, Emily. For what might one use a winnowing fan?
A winnowing fan.
Yes.
Winnowing.
A winnowing fan.
a winnowing fan, so you would have to be winnowing the grain.
Yes, you would.
So a winnowing fan, you would use the fan to blow the chaff away from the grain.
You know something?
Good.
I could argue, but that's what it is. Exactly what it is. To separate grain from chaff, harvesters often throw the threshed grain into the air and let the wind blow off the lighter chaff, but you can see that this would be achieved with greater ease if you had a winnowing fan.
I always thought it was just someone who liked winnowing a lot.
That's a winnowing enthusiast.
Thank you.
Yes.
Early days,
you know,
for that,
I could see Charlie Sheen winnowing. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate that. And finally, Ray, what are you doing when you harrow? H-A-R-R-O-W. What are you doing when you harrow a field?
When you harrow a you're afraid of it.
You are afraid.
You harrow.
You cut the rows into the ground with a harrow, do you not?
I think that's a plow. I think the harrow breaks those pieces up into smaller pieces.
Yes, but that's actually not that's the process that happens, but there's a reason to harrow a field. It means something slightly different.
Is that when you plow under the last year's crop?
Yeah. No, it is not, actually.
Shoot.
Is it to aerate it better?
Yeah, yes. That's also part of it. You're gaining points as you go here. But
aeration.
There's one very important element that you've left out so far that'll get you the 10 points.
Other side? Is it to prepare a field for being fallow?
Yes, it is, but there's one other element, and again, I'm sure that the audience will straighten me out if I'm wrong on this. But what the dictionary says is you are digging it up again, as you say, after initial tilling in order to level or crown it properly for drainage. Is that correct? Well, we're getting a mixed response from the audience. But that's what it says in the dictionary, in order to level or crown it properly for draining. And that's what harrowing means. Mm. What do you think? 7 points?
Yes.
Yeah, 7 points. 7 points for that. Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends Tony and the Roundabouts. It's the first of the Says You bluffing rounds. Arnie, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The others have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Paula's team. There's 10 points up for grabs here. To Paula, if she can determine who's bluffing, and to you, Arnie, if she can't. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word bizaball.
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 B-I-S-A-B-O-L. Bizaball. Gentlemen?
It must have been moon blown way up in the blue. It must have been moon blown.
Here's a quick update. Says You travels to Thousand Oaks, California, Saturday, February 18th, for a live performance of the show. Tickets, information, and details are available by following the Join the Fun link at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. And for the folks in San Francisco, KQED is adding a new performance on Friday, April 20th. Check the site out for details and come join the fun. That's Thousand Oaks in San Francisco. Live performances, Says You.
We seem to float right through the air.
Says You returns after this from home.
Hi, it's Lynn Rossetto Casper. This week it's perhaps the ultimate and most satisfying DIY. Home roasted coffee. I mean, who would let a little smoke get in the way of a perfect cup, right? Well, join us for the details. That's this week on The Splendid Table from American Public Media.
The Splendid Table today at noon.
We're glad you listen regularly to Talk of the Nation, but please, don't let your involvement end there. We want you to take an active role in shaping each day's program. Call us or send us an email and make your voice heard. Your opinions matter. I'm Neil Conan. Join the conversation next time on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Weekday afternoons from 1 to 3. Support for Says You on WPLN comes from Zeitlin & Company Realtors, Missy Rodriguez-Brower, Donnie Creighton, Nan Speller, and Shay Howard of Zeitlin & Company Realtors, committed to real estate services. More information is available at ZeitlinRealtors.com. And by you, the listener, you can become a member or renew your membership online anytime at WPLN.org.
And now when there's moon glow, way up in the blue, always remember that moon glow gave me you, that moon glow gave me you, that moon glow gave me you.
That is Tony and the Roundabouts. Help me thank Tony Petrillo on guitar and vocals, Dirk Anderson on the bass, Jim Oliver on guitar, Tom Svornich on drums, John Morton on clarinet, Rex Rice on trombone, and Lee Molar on trumpet. Very good. Thanks, guys. This gives me a chance to thank our scorekeeper. Would you all put your hands together for the hard work given by Mr. Lee Brummer? Thank you, Lee. Keeping the score. We have had a few moments with the word Bizaball. We will go first to Patty Miles.
Bizaball, a liquid application found in a beauty supply store to reduce the scalp burning from excessive bleaching.
Ooh.
Could be
painful
that.
Painful to think about. Frightening. Just a little frightening. Can you repeat it again? I'm sorry.
Yes, yes. A liquid application found in a beauty supply store to reduce the scalp burning from excessive bleaching.
It's good.
Reduce scalp burning, boy. That's what it's all about. Or it could be something else. Arnie, what do you say?
You obviously picked this from Bizaball has been very, very good to me.
Yes. I knew that was coming.
Apparently, it's this incredible mechanical contraption that was made to appear to be making music that simulates piano tones or a small carousel calliope.
A small... Ooh, I knew out there. A small carousel calliope is a Bizaball, could be. Or it could be something else. Emily, what do you say?
I say it's a certain kind of very chewy substance. It's kind of like chewing gum. And if it originated around here, it would be like that snus that loggers have between their lip and their teeth. But in fact, it's not from around here. In fact, it's a chewy substance that's similar to myrrh.
A chewy substance that's similar to myrrh. Yeah. You don't get much call for myrrh around these parts, but, you know, you can understand that.
Good old double bubble myrrh.
Yeah. It is either a chewy substance similar to myrrh, a small carousel calliope, or that acid, oh my goodness, to reduce the scalp burning. Oof.
You made him say it again.
Such a painful image. It's one of those three, and the choice, Paula, is yours.
That myrrh thing's really cute. None of us has a clue what the heck it is. So we would know a chewy substance that was like myrrh if it hit us. Well, I don't know.
This is It's like myrrh-flavored chewing gum. Is that?
Is it myrrh like some kind of a incense or some kind of a stinky stuff that the three wise men?
That's all we know. Let's be honest.
Frankincense.
Yeah.
Myrrh.
That's all, and we don't know what any of them really is,
no,
do we?
I mean, I don't myself. I don't know what frankincense.
I mean, so. Do any of these definitions resonate with you guys?
Well, yeah. Go ahead.
What's your vote?
Go ahead, Brian.
Well, I like the myrrh.
You like the myrrh?
Yeah.
You just like it, or you think it might be?
I'll have the myrrh.
You'll have the myrrh.
Yeah, and not the frankincense. I'll have the devious incense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah,
okay, Ray, what do you think?
Well, the first one, the scalp application.
I like that too.
That had resonance for me. I tried to think of some words that sounded like Bisabol, and the only one I could think was Bismol, Pepto Bismol, which also is something that overcomes something that's acidic, I suppose, in your Pepto.
Now, did it ever occur to you though that she was thinking
that she was kind of thinking the same thing
I was thinking.
So I'm not sure. And then the calliope part seemed just odd enough to get my vote. Yes.
Okay, I'm the captain, right?
You're the captain.
That's what I hear. Yeah.
All right, I'm going with the calliope.
Oh. Am I wrong? Much to the chagrin of Ryan Toss, the team captain has gone with the calliope, the small carousel calliope, which was your definition, Arnie. Is that, in fact, what Bisabol is?
Calm down, Brian. Of course not.
Oh. That was a bluff. Ooh.
Well, then
bluff.
I'm...
All right, audience, what do you think? How many say the scalp application? How many say the myrrh? Well, Emily, if it's the myrrh, you didn't fool anybody. Is it, in fact, the myrrh?
It is, in fact, the myrrh.
That's what it is.
Gets to say, I told you
it
so.
It is the myrrh. Can you read the definition on the card?
Bisabol, a gum-like substance similar to myrrh.
That's what you got.
There you go.
10 points for Arnie's team.
All right.
Once again, a jaw-dropper.
Let's go on to round three. From the rain shadow of the Olympic Mountains, we bring you the Olympic Games. From the following ridiculous puns, clues, and references, please tell me the Olympic sport I have in mind. To give you an example, to give Miss Merman a look for the role is to try Ethel in. Triathlon.
Oh, wow. Oh, that is really preposterous.
Boo.
I'm already hearing brain cells die.
Did you ever hear a hiss go through the audience like that? Sounds like there's reptiles out there. So we're looking for Olympic sports here from these clues. To give Miss Merman a look for the role is to triathlon. Mm-hmm. Triathlon. Yes, I understand.
Yeah.
Try this one, Patty.
Okay.
Just sliding by in math.
Just sliding by in math.
Math. What Olympic sport might be brought to mind by just sliding by in math?
Oh, my gosh.
Luge?
Luge?
No.
Luge. All right, you're trying to get... He's trying to do a pun out of this.
Yeah, there's all kinds of different ways of looking at
just
this one.
Just sliding by in
math. Algebra.
Oh, they may not get this. Just sliding by in math. Oh, I just heard it in the audience. Ooh, it's quiet over there. Any thoughts?
Discus.
Why discus?
Why not?
Nothing else makes sense.
It sounds good.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Sounds good. Discus does sound good, but no, I don't think they're gonna.
No,
don't think they got any help from the other side.
We're gonna take a wild guess here. Ray.
Decathlon.
No, it's not that. Any help from the audience? That's exactly it.
What?
Figure skating.
Oh, figure skating. Wow.
Oh, good for you.
Just sliding by. And math is, of course, figure skating. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
They're going to get worse and worse and worse as time goes on. All right, Brian, try this one. Olympic sport brought to mind by the clue, a very large and lazy baby sheep.
Large and lazy
baby sheep.
Baby
sheep, yep. Very
baby
large and lazy baby sheep.
So baby sheep, is it a lamb?
That's it.
Okay.
It is a lamb, yeah.
Pat?
That we get.
That you got. That
that
one you got.
Get.
Okay, I should have given you that one first, I suppose.
Lamb.
We're making
a very large,
slam,
lazy baby sheep. The other side, you do
lamb.
Have it. Okay.
Calf lamb.
Yeah. Large, a very large.
Yep.
Mega lamb.
Megalam.
Like Legolam. No.
A Megalam Legolam.
You've never actually witnessed this process before, have you? It's
so messy.
Torpid and...
I think
are we giving up?
I think that they're giving up. They got the lamb. They'll get a couple of points for that, but we got to go to the other side.
Slow lamb.
Slalom.
It's the giant slalom.
Giant
yes.
Slalom.
Oh, giant slalom.
The giant slow lamb, yes. The giant,
giant
slalom.
Hey, is this a question, Richard? Are these all Winter Olympic Games?
Nope, not all of them.
Shoot. Okay.
Okay. Some of them are,
some of them
are. We're
scraping toboggan out of the barrel at this point.
Yeah.
Give them 3 points for that, just for the struggle, for getting
just
lamb.
For
that was a third of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you only get points if it's the
yes,
question.
That's true. All right, try this one, Arnie. Olympic sport brought to mind by the clue, when you are leaping over Copernicus, Chopin, and Madame Curie. Olympic sport brought to mind when you are leaping over Copernicus, Chopin, and Madame Curie. Now, does this side have it this time?
Oh.
Yeah. Got it.
The other side always gets it.
Is this pole vaulting?
It's pole vaulting, yes. It is pole vaulting.
They're all pole.
You know, I have to say, is this your contribution, Leela? This is Leela Helton's contribution, ladies and gentlemen.
The old pole.
Well, we're no longer on in Krakow and Warsaw.
I was wondering who sent this in. It's Leela Hilton's contribution to the, ladies and gentlemen.
The
front row,
vaulter.
Seat number 4, right there.
Pole vaulting.
All right, try this one, Paula.
Okay.
Digital response to a scorching smooch.
Digital response.
Digital response to a scorching
digital
smooch.
Digital response. Are we talking digital or are we talking, you know, X's and O's,
X's and
digits,
O's.
No,
digital.
No, you were right the first
this
time.
This kind of digital. Finger kiss. No, what are you talking about?
Yes, the Olympic
finger
sport.
Kissing, yes.
A response to a scorching smooch.
Greco-Roman finger kissing.
My favorite event.
If it isn't a sport, Olympic sport, it should be.
Yeah, that's right.
Digital response.
Does the other side have any thoughts?
Oh, nothing related to this.
Nothing related to this.
Digital response.
I don't know if they're going to get it.
No.
Hand.
All right. Audience, any thoughts? Curling.
Curling.
Is exactly right. A scorching smooch will make your toes curl.
Oh.
It's curling.
Says who?
The lady up there got it.
Curling?
Good grief. Curling.
I think they get 0 for that, yes. I don't think they get any points for that. Try this one, Emily. A stag dance party in northern Spain.
Oh, yeah.
stag dance party in northern Spain. Spain.
Northern Spain's like what? Galicia?
Oh. Right, Basque. Does the band know? Don't say it out loud. Does the band know? The band knows. Does the other side know?
Not a clue.
My head is filled with visions of dancing deer.
It's not a deer.
It is not. So I'm going to go to the band for this one. Do you know what it is? Men's basketball. Basque region of Spain.
Basket weaving.
Men's.
We got Basque. We got Basque, but we couldn't put it together.
A stag dance party is a men's basketball. Yeah, give them 3 points to match the other one. You know, that's. And finally, try this one, Ray. Olympic sport brought to mind by Reconcile Jim's Whiskey.
Reconcile
Jim's Whiskey.
Whiskey. Balance beam.
Balance beam is exactly right. 10 points.
That was too easy.
Oh, and that brings to a close Lila Houghton's round of Olympic memories. Thank you very much, Lila. Triptych Olympics. Good job. Good job. Let's go on to round four, which is Paula's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Arnie, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to come up with a definition for the word smell fungus.
Smell fungus.
S-M-E-L-L. F-U-N-G-U-S.
You are kidding.
Smell fungus.
Smell fungus.
Gentlemen.
I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China. All to myself alone. Get you and keep you in my arms evermore. Leave all your lovers weeping on a faraway shore. Out on the briny with a moon big and shiny. Melt in your heart of stone. I'd love to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone.
Support for Says You in Port Townsend, Washington comes from the Port Townsend Film Institute, informing, educating, and inspiring with independent cinema, and producing the Port Townsend Film Festival this September. Information on the web at ptfilmfest.com. And the Puget Sound Express, educational programs, whale watching, things to know, on the web at pugetsoundexpress.com. Briefly, Says You pauses. We'll be right back.
Michelle Alexander is a civil rights attorney and law professor who writes that many of the gains of the civil rights movement have been undermined by the mass incarceration of African Americans during the war on drugs. She says millions arrested for minor crimes are then branded as felons for life and denied basic rights and opportunities. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Michelle Alexander. Join us.
Fresh Air weekday mornings at 11 and weeknight evenings at 7.
Peace is a strangely generic and divisive word. On the next On Being, we infuse it with unpredictable images from a wise and adventurous life in conflict transformation around the world. Learn the difference between conflict resolution and enduring change. I'm Krista Tippett. Join me for The Art of Peace from APM.
Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock. You're listening to Says You here on 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio. Sunny skies today here in Nashville, the high in the upper 40s. Increasing clouds tonight, the low in the mid-30s. Showers likely tomorrow and cloudy, the high in the mid-50s. Right now, it's 32 degrees in Nashville at 9:39.
air Says You again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at SaysYou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available.
Out on the briny, with a moon big and shiny, melt in your heart of stone. I love to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone, all to myself alone.
That is Tony and the Roundabouts. Thank you very much, guys. We've had a few moments with the word smell fungus. We will go first to Mr. Brian Toss.
Well, first of all, of course, all funguses smell the same, more or less.
More or less.
But I've actually, this is a type of person, I've traveled with this kind of person. It reminds me of a saying from Yogi Berra. Someone asked him about a restaurant he'd been to. And he complained, yes, the food was awful and the portions were small.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? So a smell fungus is a person, a traveler, tourist person who complains about everything, finds something to complain about.
A complaint.
Smell fungus is.
Travel tourist who complains about everything is a smell fungus. Yes, that's a very apt term, I think. Complain about everything, you're just a smell fungus. Okay. Could be, or it could be something else. Paula?
It is a person. But it's a person with, you know, we've all heard about those people who are chemically sensitive. Mm. But this is a person who has an inordinate number of allergies, allergic reactions, rather, to the natural world.
Someone allergic to just about everything in the natural world is a smell fungus. Could be. Could really be. Or it could be something else. Ray, what's your take?
Actually, a smell fungus is a veterinary term. It is, it's a funny word, but it actually is a type of fungus. And it is a fungus that is found between the claws of small domestic animals, such as ferrets and hamsters.
Hamster toe cheese is what we're talking about here.
Hamster toe cheese.
You can dress it up any way you want.
That was very succinct, yes.
Call that claw tobacco.
Yeah. Well, it could be the fungus that grows between the toes of hamsters. It could be someone who's allergic to a lot of stuff in the natural world. Or it could be a traveling tourist who just won't shut up. It's one of those three, and the choice, Arnold, belongs to your team.
Yes. Okay, chime in. What do you
I'm voting for the allergy to the natural world.
Really?
Yes.
And
because it suggests that you have continuous fungus in your nose.
Yes,
like
it does.
It's chronic.
Continuous.
Huh. It is a bit chronic.
Okay. Emily? Hold that thought.
I don't think there are hamster veterinarians. And it just is too funny of a word to be scientific or medical. It's just something you would call somebody after traveling or camping, you know.
So you're going with Brian? Or?
No.
Oh.
I'm going with somebody who complains about
everything.
Yeah,
that's everything. Brian's one.
Oh, Brian. Hi, Brian.
You said that I complain about
I'm thinking along Emily's lines, actually. So you can beat
me up
afterwards.
I'm okay with that.
All right, because it sounds to me that a smell fungus is probably a person who just smells fungus everywhere they go. You know, and not necessarily allergic to it, but just wants to complain. And by virtue of the fact of doing the show for 15 years and you start having time to say Yogi Berra-isms,
I thought you were going to go about the restaurant that Yogi Berra said nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded.
It's too crowded, yeah.
I'm going to go with the complainer. I think we're going to go with the complainer. And if I'm wrong, Patty can beat me over the head.
If he's wrong, Patty can take a poke at him, Brian, but he thinks that smell fungus is the traveler who complains about everything. Is that, in fact, what a smell fungus is?
Smell fungus? A traveler who complains about
that's
everything.
That's what it is. 10 points. Brian Oldstein.
Many seasons ago, special guest Murray Horowitz joined our regulars for a round of cinematic mating, matching the stars of one movie with another in a third film. It left an indelible impression on the then young Troy Butler of Chicago, Illinois. Troy requested that it be a spotlight round. So here it is, from season 4, the challenge we called For Better or Worse.
Please tell me the movie in which the following characters got together. The catch? I'm going to describe each character in terms of other roles that the actors and actresses play. Yeah. An example, yeah. Rhett meets a woman spreading a 7-year itch.
No, Arthur Miller movie.
The Misfits is correct, yeah. Because Rhett would be Rhett Butler, yeah. Would be, what is that guy?
Clark Gable and Marilyn Monroe.
Clark Gable and Marilyn Monroe from the 7-Year Itch got together in The Misfits.
Okay. Help me, team.
Carolyn, mm-hmm. McMurphy shadows Peggy Sue.
Help me, team.
All right, Peggy Sue is...
Jack Nicholson and Kathleen Turner.
Kathleen Turner. Jack Nicholson
or
and Kathleen
what?
You've got the stars. You're halfway there.
Yeah, but Jack Nicholson.
Ooh, I think they forget this movie.
It must have been a forgettable movie.
Well, not really.
Not really?
Give them 7 points because they got the two stars. Anyone remember the movie?
Pritzi's Honor.
She was in Pritzi's
Honor. Pritzi's Honor is the
name of
that.
I only remember Angelica Houston. Yeah.
Where they got together.
Holy Moses.
Right. Tony.
Yes.
Violet Venable's niece.
Okay.
Degrades the guy with the robe.
So Katharine Hepburn meets the robe.
Let me stop you there. Violet Venable's niece.
Niece.
Oh, that was Elizabeth
degrades
Taylor.
The guy with the robe.
Elizabeth Taylor. So wasn't could it have been...
the guy with the robe.
Oh, Cleopatra.
Yeah, Cleopatra I will give you some credit for, yes, because they both did star in that movie. Who are the stars involved?
You know, what's
Liz
his name?
Taylor and
the guy,
Burton.
Richard Burton.
And Richard Burton. Those are the two stars.
Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
That's the one. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Not 10 points. Give them 9 points for that because we did do a little bit of coaxing. Arnie, Sister Sarah gets pulverized.
The apartment.
The apartment is exactly right. Very good. Why? Because
2 Mules for Sister Sarah. Is that what you're going for? Shirley MacLaine and Pulver, Ensign Pulver is Jack Lemmon and Mr. Roberts.
That's exactly right. Shirley MacLaine and Jack Lemmon and the apartment, and you also would have gotten credit for Irma LaDuce, but the apartment was where we wanted to go. Try this one, Francine. Morning Glory comes up to see him.
Help me with the Morning Glory part.
Morning Glory? I can't help you with either part or the place we're going to.
Okay, comes up to see him. Mae West?
No, not Mae West. Actually, comes up to see him.
Come up to see me?
You mean Cary Grant?
Mae West.
Cary Grant.
Morning Glory comes up to see
that's
him.
The one.
Gunga Din.
It happened one night.
No. We'll go to the other side.
We think it's Holiday with Audrey Hepburn and Cary Grant.
Oh, not Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, Katharine Hepburn?
Katharine Hepburn and Cary Grant either in Holiday
or the Philadelphia Story.
Yes, either movie would have done it.
I was going to Philadelphia with the wrong person.
Yes, you were.
story of my life. Oh, well.
Murray, try this. All Hetty, Clyde finds his darling.
All Hetty?
Yes, H-E-A-D-Y. All Hetty, Clyde finds his darling.
Well, it's Bonnie.
The darling is Julie Christie.
Is he going back to Darling and Julie Christie?
Warren Beatty.
Shampoo is
exactly right. 10 points. Very good. Because you have Warren Beatty, Clyde, and Bonnie and Clyde, and Darling was, of course, Julie Christie, and the two of them got All Hetty in Shampoo. And finally, Barry... She goes lightly with Blofeld's Bane.
What?
She goes lightly, so that's Audrey Hepburn.
Right. Holly go lightly.
With Blofeld's Bane.
Oh, that's Blofeld's Bane, Bond. Blofeld's Bane is Audrey Hepburn.
And Sean Connery.
You've got it.
Two for the Road.
Oh, no, that was...
I know.
They were... Oh, the Countess? Was that...
Well, you're in the right...
Some spy thing.
No, not that.
No,
it's
no. Countess.
Very classic story.
Really? The something, the blonde... The
you've got 7 points already. Any help from the other side?
Audrey Hepburn and Sean Connery, huh?
Yeah, anyone know in the audience?
Robin Hood.
Robin and Marion.
Oh,
very good.
Great movie.
That's our Spotlight Round for this week. If there's a memorable moment you haven't heard in years, let us know. We'll send our crack staff into the archives and do our best to find your favorite. You can register your choice at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou. That's our look back. Now, back to the present. Let's close tonight. Gary Friedman of Bothell, Washington, sends us a round titled, A Text is Worth a Thousand Words. Oh, you know where we're going.
You all
then.
Know this already?
From the list of chat acronyms and text message shorthand on the website, please decipher what the following mean. For example, if I were to say LOL, you would all know that means
laugh out loud.
Okay? And that's it for me. Come on.
Yeah.
All right.
Me too.
Lots of love.
Let's try this. And see how it works.
This will be Lee's category. Yeah.
Patty, BRB.
BRB.
Not too loud.
BRB.
Yeah. What is it? Wait a minute. When you huddle together like that, not good radio.
So R is R, A-R-E, we know that much. B, B-R, we
boys
B.
are back.
Boys are back.
Babe, are you back?
The boys are back.
I don't think so.
You certainly got the back right. That's B-R-B. Babes are back, no. I don't think they're going to get it. Does the other side have any thoughts?
Well, we were thinking something different. We thought it just might mean be right back.
Be right back is exactly
right. Be right back. Be right back.
That's exactly what it means.
I was going to tell you, Arnie.
Yeah. All right, give them 3 points for that. Boy, I'd be... No.
The score doesn't matter. It hasn't mattered for 15 years.
No points for that. No, you got to get these. You got to get. All right? The only way I'll do it is if it's, if they get halfway there and they miss up, but not for that. Brian, try this one. What might be meant by the text F2F?
F2F.
F, the number 2... F.
Isn't this what it's supposed to be?
F to F. Yes. Wow, I have no clue. Do you?
Failure to something that starts with F.
Failure to flaunt.
Failure to find.
That's not what I was thinking of.
Think it has anything to do with fun? Does it have anything to do with fun?
Face to face?
Face to face.
Nobody.
That's exactly right. 10 points.
Four.
Good job.
All right, Arnold, try this one.
Face to face.
What might be meant by the text shorthand BWTM? Yeah, thank you, Liz. I appreciate that.
BWTM,
Arnold.
If these were personal ads, it would be boy with tricep.
Oh, yeah, right. Boy with terminal malaise.
I'm actually going to give him points for that. Do you believe that? Now, that's what you get points for. Boy with terminal malaise. Yeah. I don't think they're going to get it, but I'm going to give you 3 points for boy with terminal malaise. And I do it without shame. I go to the other side. Does the other side know?
Would the WT stand for with the?
No, it does not. Anybody in the audience? No, it's actually, but wait,
there's
more.
But wait, there's more.
But wait,
Wait,
Wait, there's more. Oh,
boy.
That's wonderful. Can I steal
that's
it?
A complete
yes, BWTM, but
wait.
But
wait, there's more.
There's more. All right, try this one,
that's
Paula. You're going to absolutely love this one, Paula.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
S-L-A-P.
S-L-A-P.
Oh, so
slap.
Long.
S-L-A-P.
Is it so long?
No, it is not.
Not so long. Okay, S-L-A-P.
I guarantee you, so you will use this forever.
Sit. Any help from
me? Yeah, God.
You'll all
so
use
limericks
well.
Are precise.
S-L-A-P.
So anyone in the band know, just out of curiosity.
So long.
No?
It's not so long. Seems like.
I think somebody in the audience knows. I'm pretty sure of that. I don't think they're going to get it, so I'm going to go to the audience.
Oh, wait, don't we get it?
Sounds like a plan to me.
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds like a plan.
Oh, wow.
No, nothing like
that. That's what it is. All right.
When is the question's asked?
Try this one, Emily.
Okay.
Because don't worry, Ray is never going to get the last one. He's never going to get the last one. I guarantee it. F-O-M-C-L.
F-O-M-C-L.
It's a complete sentence.
F-O-M-C-L.
Right.
That's a text message.
From our mouths come lies.
Yes, but you've used your humor allotment for this question. So.
Gee Louise.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my Lord. Wait a minute.
Foment.
Yeah.
Foment. Oh, that's way too intelligent.
Foment revolution.
The F, I'll give you a clue, stands for fell.
Fell?
Fell.
Oh,
fell
off my
chair laughing.
Well, I guess everybody up there got it now, yes.
Fell on my...
Fell off my chair
laughing.
That's what it is.
Oh,
fell off my chair laughing. You've used your... Well, give them two more points, even it out. And we'll go to... you. There is no way you can get this, but I'm going to give you a clue, Ray. I'll give you a clue.
Give me two clues.
You get a clue.
Like that's
going to
help.
What might be meant by the text message N-W-J?
N-W-J?
N standing for no.
Oh.
N-W-J.
Oh, sure.
N-W-J.
Yes?
No way, Jose.
No way, Jose is exactly right.
No way, Jose.
10 points for that. Is that right? Is that score right? That score is correct?
66.
What do you know, ladies and gentlemen? Come all the way out to Port Townsend, Washington, and what do you get? A 60-60 tie. Congratulations to both teams. That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Leela Hilton, and especially all the folks at the Clemente course here in Port Townsend. Yes, sir. We are thrilled to be able to come out and meet you folks and have a great time out here. Sher and Salkind are the writers. Chris Martin captures the moment, and Zach Moore is the associate producer and webmaster. Our closing thought... Everybody up here jokes about the rain, and in our experience, we haven't had rain for a minute. And that minute was 7:42 a.m. yesterday. Thanks from all our waterlogged entourage, and we'll see you all next week.
Says You in Port Townsend, Washington is made possible by the Clemente Course for the Humanities, teaching the humanities at a college level to people living in economic distress. On the web at clementecourse.com. That's C-L-E-M-E-N-T-E. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
You've been listening to Says You here on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule for all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, Mississippi, Republican Governor Haley Barbour pardoned 193 criminals, murderers on down on his last day in office. We'll look at what moved Haley Barbour and the uproar now, plus African Americans and the GOP. It's still a struggle. We'll ask why. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
You can hear On Point weekday mornings from 9 to 11 here on 90.3 WPL.